In this creation, there is nothing but order. It is only necessary to look about you to see the order and perfection of this universe. You are about to experience a gift. This gift will be a new understanding of love. Some of you have already begun to experience this, and as the progression takes place, it will become more and more apparent to many of those of Earth. We are here to help with this experience. This is the reason that so many of your brothers from space, as you call it, are now here with planet Earth. We are here to serve and to help the Creator's plan bring to you the love that you desire. 11 and from OSP. So great was the wisdom of these gods and goddesses that to come within the Earth's atmosphere was sufficient to enable them to read all the souls and prayers of mortals, and all the thoughts and desires of the spirits of the lower heaven belonging to the Earth. To each and all of them the voice of Jehovah was ever present, and their power was like unto their wisdom. Jehovah hath said, to the corporean I have given power to hear one or two things as the same moment of time. But my gods can hear intelligently tens of thousands of men speaking at the same time. Yea, they can find a way to answer them also. 12 Fragapati said, Aut vat, my son, the all light fell upon me, saying, My son, go to the red star, the earth, her coat is red with mortal blood. Now, by her time she standeth more than 200 years beyond the boundaries of Horub. For this, I called thee and thy attendants. How long will it take thee to go thither and survey the earth and her heavens, and return hither? Aut vat, well trained in such matters, said, of the earth's time, 40 days. Fragapati said, what number of attendants wilt thou require for so great a distance? And Aut vat said, 20,000. Fragapati said, provide thee, then, all thou requirest, and go at once. And if thou shalt find the inhabitants of the earth suitable for sacred records, commission thou the god or lords to send second Louis to raise up an heir for Jehovah's kingdom. Aut vat said, thy will in Jehovah's be done. And, duly saluting, he and his attendants withdrew, and, coming to Gatwawa, ordered a narrow ship of 20,000 gauge. In 2 days it was completed, and, during the time, Aut vat had chosen his attendants. And so he departed, swiftly, like a ray of light, Aut vat and his attendants, for the red star, the earth, to see what was the matter, that a god so far away as Fragapati was, could feel and know the flow of human blood. For such is the all perfection of Jehovah's sons and daughters. Even mortals can sense things a little way off, but Jehovah's upraised gods feel the breath of the stars, and know when they are disordered. 13 The planet Earth is now in a state of transition toward a greater unfoldment of man's progression. The world is not going to end! ! 14 We are now diligently preparing the way for his footsteps to be heard throughout the world. The kingdom is no longer at hand, the kingdom is here, and he is shortly to manifest to all men. We have awaited this time with eagerness through the long centuries. Is it not then a time for great rejoicing even though some catastrophe shall come to the world? But through this catastrophic purification man shall inherit his godhood. 15 Full knowledge of our presence will soon be known to your people. There will be, at that time, great upheavals on your planet. We regret this cannot in any way be avoided. We knew this from the beginning. We, therefore, have warned man repeatedly to prepare for these events, both mentally and physically. 16 And one last and extremely sensible insight into the contactee predictions of catastrophe, which we would do well to note as an accurate perception. Orthon, a cosmic being, told a group of Danish contactees that a great cataclysm would occur on December 24, 1967. The press freely translated this as the end of the world. Borg Jensen, spokesman for the contactees, told Newsman that Orthon and the Space Brothers had released the warning out of love for mankind. The world did not end, and one would have to debate the limits of cataclysm, but on the date named by the space being, earthquakes rattled various parts of the globe, some registering as high as 7.25 on Richter scale of 10, an inactive volcano in Samoa began vomiting new fire, and nearly the whole of Europe was paralyzed by severe winter storms. Could it be that our space brothers merely exaggerate the scope of coming disasters in an attempt to get apathetic and skeptical Earthmen to act? Question mark 17, Chapter 10, Conclusion. In the previous chapters we've become familiar with the general foundations of the basic communication which I have extracted from the contactee and other UFO phenomena. The material we have examined is only a tiny percentage of the total contactee data available to the energetic researcher, but it does represent the general gist of most contactee data. I will not say that there are not some totally anomalistic contactee cases, but these seem to be in the minority. One of these cases is the strange and lengthy contact of the people from the planet Homo, the original contactee reports coming from Spain. As a researcher said, invited to address the gathering at the close of the symposium, Secretary General Fourier dwelt upon the unique nature of the Homo reports. He said, "I have received dozens of messages from supposed extraterrestrials, transmitted by all types of contactees. They are always messages of a missionary or evangelical type, in which terrestrials are warned of the tremendous dangers resulting from their imprudent manipulation of atomic energy, or the others try to save us and redeem us. The Homo messages, on the other hand, without attempting to convert us to any sort of cosmic religion. One, it is to be noted that although the Homo material is not high-key in its zeal to save Earth, the philosophical content of the messages are congruent with the basic Confederation philosophy." Noted researcher Brad Stager, a man with quite a bit of experience in dealing with the contactee phenomena, gave this evaluation of the contacted message content in his excellent and perceptive book, The Aquarian Revelations, The Philosophical and Metaphysical Content of the Essential Message Allegedly Entrusted to the Contactee is Nearly Always the Same. A distillation of the Outer Space Apocrypha would reveal such concepts as the following: man is not alone in the solar system. He has space brothers and they have come to Earth to reach him and to teach him. The space brothers have advanced information which they wish to impart to their weaker brethren. The space brothers want man to join an intergalactic spiritual federation. The space brothers are here to teach, to help man rise to higher levels of vibration so that he may be ready to enter new dimensions. According to the Outer Space Apocrypha, such a goal was precisely what Jesus, the prophets, Confucius and the leaders of the great religions have tried to teach man. Man stands now in the transitional period before the dawn of a new age. With peace, love, brotherhood and understanding on man's part, he will see a great new era begin to dawn. If man should not raise his vibratory rate within a set period of time, severe earth changes and cataclysms will take place. Such disasters will not end the world, but shall serve as cataclysmic crucibles to burn off the dross of unreceptive humanity. 2. You can see that I am not the only ufologist who has been putting the puzzle pieces patiently together over the years. These conclusions as to the content of the UFO message seem inescapable to the serious investigator. In fact, the missionary aspect of the UFO's contact is assumed to be present to the point where, in a recent case, the investigator was puzzled as to why the contactee hadn't responded properly to it. If Mrs. M's UFO experience was designed to inspire her with a missionary zeal, as has happened to other contactees, why has it not worked for her in this way, and for what deeper reasons other than to avoid notoriety has she avoided telling many people about her experience? 3. To conclude this exploration, I will make a statement of the total UFO story as I have come to understand it, on the basic philosophical level. The UFO sources have a view of the universe and man within it upon which they build all their actions toward us. This is what we are getting from the bulk of these UFO contacts. The stuff of which the universe is made is consciousness, a single, infinite consciousness. This by definition is the creator. This consciousness created vibrations through infinite space. This basic vibration is identified in our physical science as the photon, the basic particle wave called light. This light vibration is the raw material used to make everything that there is within the creation. The vibrations which were fashioned from light exist over a large range of frequencies, only a small portion of which is apparent within our present physical reality. All atoms, whether within or outside of our physical reality, are simply more complex rotations and vibrations of the basic photon. We are then a highly complex, vibrational, single, infinite entity. Presently, we are experiencing the illusion of individualization as separate entities, but still we have been created by the one consciousness, and our basic essence resides within the Creator's one consciousness. This original state has been allegorized by the Holy Bible's story of Adam and Eve. In that tale, the serpent coaxes the couple into eating the fruit of knowledge of duality, good and evil, and so they get ousted from the garden. The UFOnauts say that the Creator created us with knowledge of our unity with all things, but also with free will and the ability to create as His sons and daughters. Through our free will, they say, man long ago decided to become individualized to the extent that we could no longer find our unity with one another. We were no longer one, we had entered into a man-made universe of duality, of separation from the original thought, which then resulted in the polarization of consciousness, good and evil. From this duality all of our present problems have been generated. The original creative thought was a thought of the creation in which each part would act in service to the other parts, just as the parts of the body act as a unit, in mutual service to itself as a whole. However, in the man-created world the various parts have ceased being totally and mutually supported, and a far more complex world reality has emerged. The question of why the world doesn't seem to work very well can be put in focus by imagining what would happen to the natural creation if trees got tired of turning CO2 into oxygen and clouds decided not to rain anymore. In some cases we humans are still capable of being biased towards service. We are shocked if a mother refuses to feed her newborn child. But we have strayed far enough into isolation to be unable to perceive the unity between us all, so that we tend to believe that there are some whom we should not serve, but oppose. This Adam and Eve adventure of ours away from the original thought resulted in succeeding changes of vibration, as the structure of the individualizing consciousness proceeded to take form. Back when the individualized man was young, he had the full Creator's ability to instantly create that which was imagined. Thus the creation grew and grew. But as the consciousness of unity was lost, the creation became progressively stratified so that it came to exist not as one vibration of love but as many vibrations, each a little less rapid than its predecessor. And so evolved the numerous densities of experience, all condensed from the same original vibration, each spanning part of the range from total unity to total separation. This makes for a vast creation of experience, considering that the original consciousness was infinite to begin with. We are, today, encased in a consciousness many eons away from the condition of total unity. Most of us don't totally like where we've landed in the continuum of experience. Worse, most of us don't even remember the journey we took to get here. According to the UFO contacts, we are at a point in the journey back toward the original thought where it is possible for at least some of us to realize our position and make a conscious choice about our own progress. We have been preparing to make this choice for almost a full cycle of experience at this level or density. The time to make the choice is now, for the cycle is ending. As fast as the ship passed the lights, the Aetherian musicians came aboard, being anxious to meet Hypatia and his hosts, especially the Inns, and to congratulate them on being the first harvest from the lowest heaven at the end of a cycle. And strange to say, there were just twice as many as Sethans had prepared in the first dawn on Earth. Phragopati called the swift messengers belonging to the Rhodes of Gan, in Aethia, and he said unto them, go ye to Sethans, whose fields lie in the Rhodes of Gan, and say unto him, greeting, in the name of Jehovah. The earth hath reached Obsid and Gumachala, home of Phragopati, who sendeth love and joy on behalf of 60 millions, first harvest of Hak, grade 65.4, grade 50 is the minimum harvestable grade, according to USP, the grade indicating that the person is 50% for himself and 50% for service to others. Now we are living within the third density of vibration, trying in our rather vague way to learn how to think, not in a complex and intellectual way but in the sense of coming into tune with the original vibration of unity. I realize that some people are perfectly satisfied with life as it is. I am reminded of the circus janitor who cleans up after the elephants. Upon being interrupted at his malodorous work, shovel in hand, he looks up and smiles. "Say, weak whip, how come you keep on working here? What a job! Don't you want to leave and get a better job?" The janitor laughs in amazement, and replies, "What? And quit show business? So, some people like this density, and, indeed, there are those who seek a level of experience even farther from unity than ours. If all upon our planet were striving for unity, then the UFO noughts wouldn't be nearly so elusive. But there are many who prefer their universe as it now is, and do not wish to be bothered with such nonsense." In OSP, we find Jehovah speaking out of the light inherent in the Aetherian Gardens, stating the situation like this: 16 times have my Aetherian hosts redeemed the earth and her heavens from darkness into light, and yet ere the end of a cycle she falleth again, and her atmospheres with her. And now it hath come to pass that her heavens are filled with thousands of millions of spirits that know not me and my emancipated worlds. 5. Here is the fallen mankind described in another way. Man so loved the earth and whatsoever ministered unto his ease and to his flesh desires, that he fell from his high estate, and great darkness came upon the earth. And man cast aside his clothes, and went naked, and became carnal in his desires. The Lord went abroad over the earth calling, "Come to me, O man. Behold, thy Lord is returned." But man heard not the voice of the Lord, for, by man's indulgence, the spirit of man was covered up in his own flesh. 6. So, mankind, and all entities in the creation, dwell within various densities, in some degree sensitive or insensitive to the original vibration of unity or love which created the universe. After all of these densities were formed in the creation, the desire began to be generated to do the inevitable, make a full circle back to the original unity. Jacob's ladder, with every rung going higher, is a good analogy to this. Man has inborn the inevitable desire to seek for the top of his ladder of experience. All over our infinite creation, entities have progressed, at various rates, on this climb back to the original condition. As entities reach a certain point in their development, they begin to again grasp the nature of the Creator as service to all. At this point, these entities reach their hands down the ladder to help their brothers who are climbing below. But the law of progression is sustained in perfect free will, so that only those who are reaching up for that help will receive it. Men have an inalienable right to progress, or even regress, at their individual speeds. There is an infinite amount of time available. The UFO source states that in the third density of vibration we have tools with which to make our experiences work for our progress. Our physical or third density body, and our higher self, which can detach itself from the physical and experience the finer vibrations of existence which interpenetrate our physical world. Most of the total humanity which has ever been in the physical is at present to be found in the finer planes of existence. The inhabitants of these astral and devachanic regions incarnate into a physical body primarily for the experiences which the physical world can offer. Some within the astral realms incarnate chiefly to experience the pleasures of the flesh. The more spiritually evolved souls of the devachanic regions often desire incarnation into the physical to mature themselves through the catalyst of physical experience, which is much more immediate and keenly felt than experience on higher planes. The astral's objective is easy to understand. He just wants to get back in the game and live it up. To get at the reason that the devachanic entity wants to incarnate, let me just give an example in story form. Mr. Good has, in his previous life on Earth, done a great many nice things, but like all of us, he was in some ways still selfish. After his death, back on the higher planes, he was able to view his life just past as a whole, and in this perspective his mistakes were apparent. In the higher vibration to which he has come because his vibrations basically are a match with it, all of his companions have his desire for advancement, and thus it is possible to see with more discerning eyes what has occurred on the denser planes. The errors become obvious. Now Mr. Good has an ambition, he wants to correct his mistakes in order to advance his level of consciousness. But this is not easy to do by pure force of will. It must be done in the dense level at which one acts and then seems to receive reactions from the outside. On the divachanic level it is obvious that all effects are the result of one's own actions. Even as to the square of the distance away from the earth, so are the grades of my resurrections. According to the exaltation of man's soul, so shall he inhabit the places I have made. According to his own soul's growth and development, so shall he ascend in my kingdoms, outward away from the earth, grade unto grade adapted item. 7. The great virtue of the physical world is the amount of pain which it can generate in consciousness. It is due to the stimulus of this catalyst, pain, that we gradually learn how to avoid pain, in an ever-ascending sense. Primitive man learns not to put his hand in the fire. Spiritually seeking man learns to combat his own pain by seeking to be of service to his fellow man. The pain of existence can be felt at the level of the physical body, within the mental or the emotional body, or solely within the spiritual body. Yet while we are within the physical, this pain will have a far more urgent and pressing nature, and the decision to seek for its rightful surcease will have a far more pronounced effect upon our essential being. So Mr. Good chooses another earth life. Maybe this time he does a little better. He evaluates again. There is no limit to the number of tries a person can have. If necessary, an entity could go through our earthbound experiences through eternity. The analogy may be made to the apparatus for distillation of pure water. The denser vibrations are closer to the earth's surface, actually penetrating it, while the faster ones move at higher altitude. Entities continually make a circuit from a higher level back to the surface, then back again, upward. But hopefully to a higher vibration than before. This is a sort of percolating process producing finally a distillate of souls that are ready for a more refined distillery. This we have seen called the fourth density by UFO sources. OSP describes the type of distillation desired upon this density of existence as follows. Jehovah had so made man and angels that, whosoever had learned to abnegate self and to labor for the good of others, was already above grade 50, and his ascension should be perpetual thereafter, whilst they that were below grade 50, who had not put away self, should gravitate downward, toward the earth. 8. In our previous harvests, says OSP, only a small percentage made the grade. Luwen said, Great Spirit, I have heard. I have seen. We gather the earth's harvest for thee, O Jehovah, but they are small. We gather the earth's harvests of dark spirits, O Jehovah, and they are 10 times larger. Behold, there is no balance between them. 9. And as oft as they are raised up in light, so are they again cast down in darkness, because of the great desire of the spirits of the dead to return back to the earth. These drudge return to mortals and fasten upon them as footles or as familiars, and inspire them to evil. Go now to the earth, O my beloved, and find the division of the earth where most these drudge congregate, for I will uproot their stronghold, I will break them from their haunts and they shall no longer carry my people down to destruction. 10. In past harvest times, it has happened that entire isolated populations of our world would reach a satisfactory vibration, with souls choosing to incarnate here to be with like-minded people, these populations being isolated from the rest of the world. In these circumstances, the UFO nauts have been able to make actual physical contact from the next vibration. The UFO sources feel that this open contact is highly detrimental to any culture not spiritually ready for it. For several reasons. First, it is demoralizing to realize that there are places one can't go. More importantly, the physical illusion is most effective when it appears totally real and of unquestioned importance. People who are more or less ready to graduate from this classroom of Earth do not need to have the illusion sustained for them, they are ready for a broader perspective. For those who are still learning, this perspective would be detrimental. It would instill, to some degree, doubt in the importance of the training aids of our daily experience. Is told Puharich and Geller that they had landed 3,000 years ago. They apparently had found a culture sufficiently advanced in vibration to meet. Right now, There doesn't seem to be a culture or nation sufficiently advanced as a whole to make possible a general or mass landing of fourth density entities. It may be possible that a very small, isolated group might be able to accept such a direct contact. But it says, and now we must land again. They are anxious to aid us, now, and to land, because of where we are in our system of cycles. We are at the end of a harvesting period, so that the Earth itself is making her transition to the fourth density. This transition is inexorable and involves not just our planet but the solar system as a whole. I realize this is one of the harder parts of the UFO story to swallow. It is not easy to picture not just people, but every atom, molecule, particle and part of the solar system, in transition, so that the vibratory rate of all particles will increase one density level in vibrational rate. But the explanation of the cause of the natural catastrophes which a very large percentage of UFO contactees forecast rests on this basic premise of cyclical transition. For the planetary mayhem is said to be brought about due to the disharmony between the vibrations of our planet and the density into which it is transiting. The planetary vibration is said to be the result of the total sum of man's individual vibrations through history. When the majority of the people advance in vibratory rate at the normal rate, the transition to the higher vibration, when time comes for it to be made, is smooth and without incident. But in our case, the majority of our people have not made the appropriate advances, and so there is conflict between our vibration as a planet and the vibration of the new volume of space into which we are passing. As the vibrations increase at the nuclear level and changes begin to occur, the resultant energy releases will result in thermal gradients sufficient to create great stresses in the Earth and therefore massive Earth changes. Through George Hunt Williamson, the source known as Brother Philip says, "Concern yourselves with the sheep of the flock, those that have strayed or wandered away, for they must have the message of hope and faith in order to endure those tragic days ahead." 11 Philip pictures the sheep to be those who have a sufficiently high vibration to make the transition into the next density, but have no intellectual knowledge of what is occurring. They see many sheep as sitting on the fence, poised between striving consciously to advance spiritually and striving instead for more physically oriented goals to the exclusion of spiritual ones. It is their hope that the sheep may be alerted as these earth changes begin, so that they may get off the fence, on the spiritual side. The disasters will frighten many, and the Confederation of Planets wishes to alleviate this fear, by putting the events into perspective with their spiritual significance. Certainly, when we do experience a disaster such as a tornado, hurricane, or flood, we see much pride and glory washed or blown away. Physical structures are torn to shreds, people's belongings and treasures lost. Yet from these experiences people overwhelmingly report their renewed thankfulness to the Creator for sparing them what they see, now to be far more important, their loved ones. The experience seems to focus in people a feeling of being newborn, thankful for real blessings, and humble in the face of the omnipotence of the Creator. The positively oriented group of UFOnauts are working to make available to people in just this frame of mind the information which gives the spiritual reason for the earth changes. The Bible gives us, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Taken in reference to the coming transition, the statement describes those of a sufficiently service-oriented attitude to be in harmony with Earth's new rate of vibration. In the same message, Brother Philip says, "The spirit of Antichrist is ever more powerful, and it is drawn closer and closer towards the Earth, where it shall have its final death throes. But in those death throes it will take many down with it, and they will not find the kingdom to be inherited, but must repeat again that great cycle of time that is now culminating in the scene upon your earth world." 12 This is spoken of in the Bible as the Battle of Armageddon. The UFO sources see it as a battle of mind involving billions of entities both in the physical and in the finer densities of Earth's vibrations, with those billions knowing little or nothing of their part in the battle, or even that the battle is raging. Like most battles, only the generals know the overall objectives of the fight. And so in this battle the masters on both sides, the sides being good and evil, or unity and separation, are doing their best to harvest the greatest crop of consciousness. Their objectives are completely within what we call the mental planes, but objectives one within these planes are inevitably manifested into the physical.